Let your voice be heard. Come and change our heart as we stand on your word. Spirit, rain down once more. Oh, Holy Spirit, rain. That's your desire tonight. Lord, rain down, our comforter and friend. How we need your touch again. Holy Spirit, rain down. Oh, rain down. Let your
downstairs looking at what songs to sing, and the Lord just really impressed upon my heart to sing that chorus. So that was going to be next, but Holy Spirit took over and he decided to have it first. Amen. Amen. Love it when he works on both ends. Amen. God bless you.
Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord.
Why don't we stand and sing it this evening?
Most High, oh, the Lord is, He's a strong tower, oh, the righteous run into it, they are. Just running to it, and they are saved. Jesus is the name of the Lord Most High. Oh, Jesus is the name of the Lord. Jesus is the name of the Lord Most High.
Let's sing it again together. Aren't you thankful tonight that we have a strong tower that we can run to in times of trouble, a cleft in the rock? Amen. God bless you. Good to be in church again together. Certainly have appreciated all the special services this weekend and the special singing, and looking forward to some more of it tonight. And want to remember those in prayer that'll be traveling back home. Some are already on the roads traveling home tonight, and others that'll be traveling home tomorrow. I want to remember them in prayer. Also, I want to remember Brother Gabe Weber. He's in a lot of pain and has a bad rash, so I want to remember him in prayer. And then also Brother Brad Burgess, he's in the hospital with a stomach infection, so I want to remember him in prayer this evening. How many of you have unspoken prayer requests you'd like to bring the Lord with uplifted hand? Amen. Oh, the Lord sees each one. Brother Jimmy, would you come tonight? Lead us in a word of prayer over these requests.
Bow our heads. Lord, we just approach you, Lord, with grace in our hearts, Lord. Lord, we thank you for the songs of Zion, Lord, that we hear, how it encourages us, Lord. But Lord, we're in a place here where we're bringing our petitions and making them known unto you, Lord. For Father, you're more than able to take care of each and every one. Father, we thank you for our brothers and sisters, Lord, who come up to fellowship with us, Lord. We ask your hand of protection upon each and every one, Lord. Lead, guide, and direct their paths home, Lord. Bring them home safely. Give them rest in their bodies, Lord. For Father, we truly have been blessed, Lord, to be amongst our brothers and sisters. Father, we ask you, Lord, to bless Brother Jack tonight, Lord. Anoint his words, Lord, that it would encourage our hearts to draw a little closer to you, Lord. And Father, each and every request that was made, Father, we thank you for what you've already done on Calvary, Lord. You paid it all, Lord, and we know it's a finished work, and we thank you for it. And we ask you just to have your way here tonight, Lord, and take preeminence over each and every one. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
God bless you, saints. You may be seated. At this time, we have a special from Sister Christy Heron-Bassick.
Another step. Lord, don't you know that death is the doorway that leads to the heavenly shore? Over there is no heartache, no sorrow before pain, just perfect love, peace and joy beyond compare. One day I'm gonna take a step to my theophany. One day I'm gonna take another step into my theophany. Marching onward to slay that old enemy, my theophany, I hear it calling me. Over the next hill I look and I see victory, around the next turn in the road, that old devil, he's got to flee. God's army is marching, marching onward to slay. Jesus coming for me. One day I'm gonna take a step to my theophany. One day I'm gonna take another step into my theophany. One day I know the final step, it's gonna set me free. My theophany, perfect word, come up a little higher into the agape love, come up a little higher, soar to the heavenly, my theophany, I hear it calling me, my theophany, I hear it calling.
Thank you, Sister Christy. Sure appreciate that. Amen. At this time, we have a special from Sister Rebecca Duff.
God bless y'all. You met me deep in my despair to show me you would never leave me there. You claimed me 'cause I was made for so much more. I am your child, and I'm worth fighting for. Though heavy with the weight of my mistakes, you carry me and refuse to let me sink under the pressure. You meant for me to soar. I am your child, and I'm worth fighting for. Eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard all you have planned for me, and nothing can separate me from your love when there's so much more still worth fighting for. Now I'm moving by faith and not by sight, towards victory by the power of your might. You're straightening out my path and opening every door. I am your child, and I'm worth fighting for. Eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard, all you have planned for me. And nothing can separate me from your love, when there's so much more still worth fighting for. No eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard, all you have planned for me. And nothing can separate me from your love, when there's so much more still worth fighting for. It's worth it, so worth it. Ooh, it's worth fighting for. It's worth it, so worth it. Ooh, it's worth fighting for. That's why I'm pressing toward the mark, because the calling on my life is worth fighting for. And I'll keep my mind stay on you, Jesus, because the peace it brings is worth fighting for. And I'll be faithful to what you called me to do, because the calling on my life is worth fighting for. Know this world is not my home, but your kingdom here is worth fighting for. I got a mansion over in glory, and my new home is worth fighting for. Till I see it, I'll shout hallelujah, 'cause my praise is worth fighting for. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Life with you is worth fighting for. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Thank you so much. At this time, we have the choir from Spirit and Truth Tabernacle going to sing for us. Thank you.
flesh of you. I worship you.
Amen. You appreciate that tonight?
Amen.
Amen. Well, I don't know if they chose that song on purpose or not, but if you notice there, what Sister Sarah was, she started out, and then Sister Tanya took it to the next octave. Amen. That's the sermon this morning and demonstration tonight. Amen. God bless you. Let's sing this together. We're going to invite Brother Jack, if he'd come this evening, bring the word to us. Amen. Let's stand together if you would tonight.
I feel a change in my life. Whoa, I feel the Spirit moving deep down inside. I serve a God, He is very much alive. I feel a change in my life. Let's sing it again together. Oh, I feel a change in my life. Oh, I feel the Spirit moving deep down inside. I serve a God, He is very much alive. I feel a change in my life. I belong to a church for a very long time. Every chance I got, I was always trying to get by. Then one day Jesus, He came into my life. Ever since that day, my soul's been satisfied. Oh, I feel a change in my life. Oh, I feel the Spirit moving deep down inside. Alive. Oh, I feel a change in my life. Let's sing it again together. Oh, Spirit moving deep down inside. And I'm well, I feel change. Let's sing that verse again. Oh, I belong to a church for a very long time. And every chance I got, I was always trying to get by. Hey, but one day Jesus came into my life. And ever since that day, my soul's been satisfied. Oh, I feel a change in my life. Oh, I feel the Spirit moving deep down inside. And I serve a God who is very much alive. I feel change in my life. One more time, say, I feel a change in my life. Oh, I feel the Spirit moving deep down inside. I serve a God who's very much alive. I feel a change in my life. Glory, hallelujah. Amen. Just turn around and greet somebody. Say, so good to see you tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. It's so good to be back in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
You can be seated. Amen. In His mighty presence.
There was another song requested, and we will be sure to get to that. Amen. Tonight, by the grace of the Lord. And I also just wanted to first take this time to say thank you to Church of the Open Door. Amen. You all have made us feel so welcome here, and we just appreciate all that you've done. Brother Luke, that was some good barbecue. Amen. And Brother Furman also. Okay, brother. Amen. We appreciate you, brothers, and just your labor of love, and all the sisters, and amen, everything that you all did. It was like I told you, we call it a big eat. But it was good eating, and we thoroughly enjoyed it. And also today, I know this weekend might not be today, but I know it was at least this weekend. But we want to wish, amen, a happy birthday to Brother Layton. This is his second birthday. But the Lord raised our precious brother from the dead right there in West Palm Beach. And I was privileged to be, amen, in those services. And many of the saints here were a part of those services. So we're very grateful every time we come and see Brother Layton. Amen. And that's knowing him as Jehovah. Amen. Not everybody can claim that. But we were there, and we saw what the Lord did. Amen for him. I won't do all of this song because I don't know all this song. But the part I do know, I can just give him praise with that.
You move mountains. You cause walls to fall with your power. Perform miracles, and there is nothing that's impossible. And I'm standing here only because you move mountains and cause walls to fall.
You made a way. Don't know how, but you did it. You made a way. Don't know why. You made a way. Don't know how. You made a way. Don't know why. You made a way. Yes, you did. You moved. You move mountains and cold walls, and I'm standing here only because, and I'm standing, yes I am, Lord, I am standing here only because you
we're standing here tonight simply because you made a way. Had you not opened the doors that we needed open, had you not done the things that we needed done, had you not provided the way that was needed, God, we wouldn't be where we are tonight. So we just stop and we say thank you. We give you glory, honor, and praise for who you are. Brother Branham says man is always thanking God for what he has done and looking forward to what he is going to do, but they fail to stop and thank him for what he's doing right now. So we say thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the anointing that has been in this place, all the songs that have been sung, worship, amen, the specials, everything that has been done thus far. God, you deserve the glory. And as we now prepare our hearts to go into this thought for tonight, we pray that you would just anoint us afresh. Not just me, but the entire congregation. For Lord, if I could have one level of faith, but if the congregation is not at that same level, God, we won't get much accomplished. But Lord, I believe tonight if the Holy Spirit would just put us all on the same page, then anything could happen in this place tonight. There are people that are sick and they need a touch in their bodies. There's some that abound and they need deliverance. God, whatever the need is tonight, some are looking for a refilling of the Holy Ghost, some are looking for a baptism of the Holy Ghost. Lord, tonight, let it be their night. We give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. If you would stand with me, we will read our scripture for tonight. Amen. And we'll just go right into our thought. Amen. Glory. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. Brother Joel asked me earlier, says, there's going to be a part two to what you spoke this morning. I said, well, I did preach it in four parts at home. But I felt to go with a different thought for tonight. And I pray that this will be a blessing, amen, to your spirit as well. We have thoroughly enjoyed, amen, our stay, amen. And you know, every time we come, we just get more blessed. And we're just so happy with what the Lord is doing here, amen, in New Albany. Amen. We're so glad about it. Amen. Here in 1 Peter chapter 2, I'll read verse 1 through 10. It says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. I was telling my church, I read this scripture for them a few weeks ago. Each one of those statements there have merit to them. Malice and guile, hypocrisies, envies, and evil speakings. And you could do your own research and find out what each thing means. But the key thing I want you to realize is that the scripture tells us to lay it aside. This is not anything we ask God to deliver us from. If you know you got it, lay it aside. Verse 2 says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallow, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient. Now, the reason they stumble at the word is because they have a spirit of disobedience, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation. I love the but, because he's not talking to the disobedient anymore. He's talking to a different group. Right, it says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Amen. Amen. The Lord had a blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated. Amen. Praise the Lord. I took a whole series on verse 9. Amen. We preached on a chosen generation. Then we preached on a royal priesthood. We preached on a holy nation and a peculiar people. So we had, I think, four or five sermons just out of that. And I know tonight I can't bring all four or five of those sermons in one sermon. Amen. So we're going to try to combine them, amen, into one. And I pray to be, amen, of help to you. But we want to use for our title tonight, Chosen for Royalty. Amen. Chosen for Royalty. I am thinking on a statement that the prophet made. I was just listening, amen, to a sermon there, the signs of his coming. And within that sermon, the prophet made a statement. He says, this is the generation that will see the coming of the Lord. And, you know, when he said that, it just kind of made me just kind of stop and just really reflect on those words. This is the generation that will see the coming of the Lord. And another place he says, if I don't live to see the coming of the Lord, I believe it's out in Phoenix, Arizona. He spoke this, said, if I don't live to see the coming of the Lord, say, I want to preach to young people. Amen. That will live to see the coming of the Lord. Amen. As we were saying, earlier today, I believe Brother Branham came to a point in his ministry where when he picked up the Bible and he looked at Malachi 4, 5, and 6, something struck him in a different way than it would strike anybody else, because he saw himself in the scripture. Right. And I believe when he picked up his Bible and looked at Revelation 10:7, amen, that spoke to him differently than it spoke to any other person that ever picked up their Bibles, because he realized he was seeing himself in the mirror of the word. Amen. And tonight I pray that, amen, that as you've looked at this scripture, that ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. I pray that tonight when you look at those words that, amen, you can stop. Like the prophet might have stopped and say, wait a minute. That's talking to me. I see myself in the scripture. Hallelujah. See, when my daughter, amen, helped me to understand something here, and I hope I can get this right in the way she was sharing it with me. You know, in old English, amen, when they wanted to talk to a group of people, amen, they didn't use things like you all. We might use words like that, you all, or we might, in the South, we say y'all. Praise the Lord, somebody. That might not be in Webster's, but you understand what I'm saying. Amen. We'll say y'all or you all, but back in those days, they would use ye. And when they were talking to a group of yous, amen, they would use the word ye. And that's why you hear them say, hear ye. Amen. Because that was talking to the whole group, not just one person, but the entire group was being spoken to. And Peter is speaking to an entire group. He says, ye are a chosen generation. He says, ye are a royal priesthood. Ye are a holy nation and a peculiar people. Right. I just think about this, amen, because there's been many of generations that have walked this earth. There's been many, and I just want to kind of go through a couple of them if I can. I think about the children of Israel. When they were on the earth, and when God sent Moses down to be their deliverer, Moses could not die in the Nile River. Moses could not die in the desert after being out there for 40 years. Moses had a purpose that God put him on the earth for, and he was to be the deliverer to the children of Israel. Here, they were underneath the promise that they would come out of Egypt. After about 400 years, they would come out of Egypt. They would dwell there, but they would come out. God raised up Moses to be the deliverer to bring them out. 10 generations of bondage. 10 generations. But think about that one generation that came up and said, you know what? We're no longer going to be bound by the Egyptians, but we're getting ready to leave here. And in that generation, amen, they saw the plague strike Egypt. They saw the death angel pass through the land and strike the homes of those who had not followed the words of the prophet Moses. Amen. They experienced the mighty deliverance. They saw the parting of the Red Sea. They saw the death to the Egyptians that had followed them. But that generation, which might have thought that they were chosen, is the same generation that died wandering in the wilderness. Rather than enjoying the bliss of the land flowing with milk and honey, that generation failed to enter the promised land, but gave birth to a new generation. After entering the promised land, the next generation experienced, amen, a son stand still underneath the ministry of Joshua. Say, others saw the first king of Israel and his rejection by God. Others saw David slay Goliath. These are some mighty generations.
But that generation was not the chosen generation. Let's go on a little further. I look at the life of Jesus. And how many would have loved to have been on the earth at the time Jesus was walking the earth? During his first coming, amen, one would have thought, amen, that everybody would have been under expectation, waiting to see Jesus. And what a generation, because they experienced so many great things. I think about the woman that experienced his wisdom because she was caught in adultery. And the way that he handled that situation, my, that must have brought a mighty change to her heart. I think about, amen, the people that were there and they were fed by, amen, the fish and the loaves, 5,000 at one time and 4,000 another time. What a revival they had, and going home and talking about the great miracle that Jesus had just done. The blind giving their sight, the deaf having their tongues loose. Amen. Amen. But when you look at it, that same generation that experienced those great things is the same generation that had him crucified. Should have been exciting to be a part of that generation, but those that were identified with him during that day were actually excommunicated from the church for being identified with them. They should have been excited to be in that generation. But that's not the way it was. They were not the chosen generation. Let me go on a little further here. I want to bring it a little closer to home. I think of the Isuzu Street Revival. I think of the Welsh Revival and all the great things that God did during those times, mighty moves of God that we read about in history. And oftentimes we read about those mighty moves of God. We get under this expectation looking for God to do the exact same thing for us. Those revivals, amen, in those days gave birth to another generation. And that generation was a generation of people that went from tent to tent. Some of you all might have even experienced the move of God underneath a tent. You had Jack Cole, you had Oral Roberts, you had Billy Graham, you had Tommy Hicks, you had T.L. Osborne, and so many other ministers that you all could probably call out, amen, where you saw the hand of God moving in that generation. But yet we cannot call them the chosen generation. Amen. Even the prophet was on the scene. During this generation of the mighty tent revivals, many experienced the presence of God in Brother Branham's meetings. As we see, amen, see things that happen in scripture, we saw that happening in his ministry. He revealed the secrets of hearts, revealed the mysteries of God. Eyewitnesses are still alive who either saw the angel of the Lord or felt his presence. Some experienced the blast that shook the rocks in Sunset Mountain. Seven angels had come to commission the prophet while he was in Tucson. He was to go east and preach the seven seals. And he come here to this area and he preached the seven seals. How many were there to experience these things? Stay with me. We have testimonies, and what testimonies they are, we have been blessed to hear. But I want to tell you something. That generation was not the climax. God had another generation that was coming along to experience the greatest event that will ever happen on the earth. And Brother Branham said the greatest event that will ever happen on the earth is the second coming of the Lord. And the second coming of the Lord is only for that predestinated, chosen generation. Stay with me here. In this message alone, the prophet makes a statement here. And, you know, as I'm going into that, I know Brother Branham tells us, it says the generation passes every day. And I know 40 years usually represent a generation, but I tell you what, by faith, I'm putting myself in the chosen generation. Amen. Even though I'm over 40, I'm still putting myself in the chosen generation. See, eventually you got to see yourself in the Word. And I see myself there. And if I'm not there, I'm going to preach to some young people that's going to see themselves there. Listen here, he makes a statement here in the message Shalom. He says, the hour is here. It says, if I could have been back there before the days that the world was created, and looked down and seen the whole thing. And the Father had said to me, what day would you want to live? I would say now, right now. This is the hour. This is the greatest hour that the church has ever moved into just before the coming of the bridegroom. I'm going further. Oh, real church of the living God ought to be on fire, burning with the light of the gospel, then being vindicated among them. Rise and shine, for the light has come to you. Amen. The light of this day. Right. He says Isaiah was the light of his day. Noah was the light of his day. While he had the word manifested in the gospel, the Bible words for this day is the light of the day. What a glorious time that we're living. Amen. Now, if you don't mind me just adding a little bit of inspiration to that. Because Brother Branham says that Isaiah was the light of his day. And we can go back and say Jeremiah was the light of his day. Ezekiel was the light of his day. Daniel would have been the light for his day. Come on. Right? We can bring it forth. Jesus has been the light of every day. Amen. But after Jesus left the scene, the disciples became the light for that day. Paul became a light for his day. Irenaeus became a light for his day. Martin, Columba, Luther, Wesley became lights for their day. Certainly Brother Branham was the light for our day. But I went to his grave just yesterday. And I know he's not here. So my question is, where'd the light go?
Amen.
All right, brother.
And you have to be the one to answer that.
Yes. Amen.
Did the light go with the prophet?
No.
Or is the light still here?
Amen. Amen.
I like that. The light is still here.
Amen.
And I can prove it to you by the word. Jesus said, ye are the light of the world. So the light did not go away. The light came inside of you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. I thank God for this. We're gonna go a little further here. We're looking at this scripture. Ye are a chosen generation, royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praise of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Just that scripture alone. Peter writes this. And I have to stop and I have to ponder on Peter, how could you write such words? Peter wrote this in A.D. 60. Now let's think about Peter. Peter encountered Christ, amen, in Luke chapter 5. Brother Branham talked about how Peter came to church. He was a little discouraged. And he come to church after a long night fishing, and he sees Jesus is on the shore. And Jesus is getting ready to have church. And he's getting ready to preach to the people. And Peter just maybe grabs a stump and he sits down and say, Brother Branham say, he comes in discouraged and he says, let's see what this fellow has to say. His attitude wasn't right. Let's see what this fellow has to say. And you know, people still come to church with the same type of attitude. Let's see what this fellow has to say. Rather than making the fellow say what you need him to say. Your faith can pull, amen, God on the scene. Peter says, let's see what this fellow has to say. And as he's sitting there, the crowd just begins to get larger and larger and larger. And before you know it, Jesus was kind of backing himself up to the shore. And it's like, I can't preach from here. So they say, Peter, let me jump inside your boat. And he gets inside Peter's boat and says, now just push a little bit from the shore. That way the people can't get inside the boat. And I'll preach from the boat. And the good thing about it is that even though Peter was so discouraged, Jesus still got inside of his boat.
Amen.
Jesus preaches, and after the sermon is over, he looks at Peter and he says, now, let's go fishing and let down your net for a great drought. Now, Peter say, wait a minute now. I'm a fisherman. I know fish do not bite at this time of day. And actually, I've been fishing all night long, and there was nothing. And maybe the reason he was discouraged because he didn't have enough money. Amen. He wasn't going to make any money to be able to take care of his family. But Jesus said, just launch out into the deep for the great drought.
Right.
And Peter, amen, just, you know, got over his discouragement and said, at thy word, I'll let down my net. And some of us need to just do some things just at the word of God. Whether you can figure it out, whether you can feel it or not feel it, just do it because God said so. Says, at thy word, I'm going to let down the net. And when he went and let down the net, they caught so many fish. But he had to take a step of faith before he would see God manifest in that manner.
Right.
Peter, amen, they're experiencing that. Peter also saw his mother-in-law healed in the self-same hour that she was prayed for.
Right.
Amen. Peter was the same man that we saw walk on water.
Right.
Peter had every right he saw the 5,000 fed. He saw the 4,000 fed. Peter was the one that stood up on the day of Pentecost. And he was the one, he was a spokesman for the church. He experienced the first outpouring of the Spirit of God.
Right.
You would have thought that Peter would say, I am the chosen generation. With everything that he experienced, yet he does not say, I am the chosen generation. Peter writes, ye.
Yeah,
right.
Why would Peter put ye? It's because in Matthew 17, Peter had an opportunity to see the second coming of the Lord.
Yeah.
And in seeing the second coming of the Lord, he knew the people that would be on earth at the time of the second coming of the Lord Jesus are the people that he was writing to and say, ye are a chosen generation.
Amen.
You're a royal priesthood.
Amen.
You're a holy nation.
Right.
Peter says, you are a peculiar people.
Thank you, Lord.
You dress strange. You talk strange. You're some funny people. But even in our awkwardness to the world, we find joy in serving God. We're at the hotel the other day, and the gentleman was just kind of talking to us a little bit, and we were talking with him and just having a really good time. And I kind of walked in on the conversation. And as he was talking, I don't know why I didn't think this. So this man is coming from out of town just like I'm coming from out of town. That's why he's at the hotel. but I'm peculiar. So I told my brother, I say, ask him if he know anything about William Branham. Just ask him. He's a preacher, right? So ask him if you know anything about William Branham. So my brother just kind of waited, and then he shot right into the say, you know, you ever heard the ministry of William Marion Branham? Like, no, I don't know nothing. I never heard anything. I'm like, wow. And I'm thinking to myself, first I was thinking, you live here and you don't know anything about the prophet? But you know what? There's many people that live here and have no idea why people would come from all over the world to want to just, amen, just, amen, just see where the prophet lived.
Yes.
So take some special people
to
do that type of stuff.
Yes.
All over the world we come because we, you know, we feel like all of us have been chosen by God.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
To receive and believe.
Amen.
This end time message.
Amen.
Peter, with all the experience that he had, but because he got a glimpse of the second coming of the Lord, that's why Peter could write, ye are a chosen generation. Now, just let me go a little further here because, you know, there's when we talk about being chosen, amen, we have to go back. We have to look at, you know, somebody in Scripture that was chosen. And when you're chosen, not everybody can see you as being chosen. Stay with me here. David was chosen.
Right.
God had rejected, amen, King Saul because of his, you know, the way he handled things. God just rejected. God was so upset with this man. He'd say, I'm sorry I even made him king. And when the prophet, amen, was, Samuel's just, sitting there maybe crying over God rejecting Saul, God said, no, wipe your tears. I found myself another king. It says, now I want you to get your horn. And I want you to go down to Jesse's house. And I want you to go down there because I got my next king living inside Jesse's house.
Right.
And here the prophet gets encouraged and he walks down there to Jesse's house. He has his horn of oil and when he walks into the city, everybody in the city begin to say, wait a minute, why is the prophet here in the city? See, when the prophet came to the city, it wasn't a picnic. People knew that something was going on if a prophet walked into the city. People had respect when a prophet walked into the city. Hallelujah. Right? So when a prophet showed up, they knew, say, wait a minute now. Are you coming for peace? You know, what's going on? And maybe it made a prophet say, look, Jesse, I'm going to your house. God told me the next king is in your house. I can see Jesse just swell up. The next king is in my house. You know, I do have a boy that walk like a king.
Uh-huh.
Actually, we have a nickname for him. We call him King. He acts like a king. He looks like a king. I believe, prophet, God has sent you to my house just to vindicate my thoughts.
Come on.
And here comes his first son out. And then they take the oil and they begin to try to pour it on this boy, but no oil comes out. And he was so sure that this was the king that maybe he took the horn from the prophet and said, let me pull my tools out and make sure that this horn is working just properly because it should have came out on this boy. Poor, nothing comes out. I said, maybe he's got something in his life that he didn't tell me about. Well, where's the next son? Bring him on up. They take it and they put nothing. Here comes another one. Nothing. Here comes another one. Nothing. Seven boys come by. Nothing.
Right. Come on.
Right.
See that eighth note. I need you to understand something. David's own father had no confidence in him being a king.
Come on, right. That's exactly right.
His daddy, his brothers, nobody had confidence in David. It was so bad that the prophet sat there and was like, you brought all your sons here and no, nothing for. And I say, he asked him, do you have one more? If the prophet had to ask for one more, that means the daddy didn't even give consideration.
That's right. Come on.
And maybe some people are not giving much consideration to you, but ye are a chosen generation. And look at this. Look at this. I just like to put my imagination here. Maybe he say, well, you know, I'm not sitting down to eat till you go get this boy, so go get him. And they have to go out to the fields, and they go get David. And I can see him sending the oldest boys out. And when they get out there, and they say, David, come on. David say, what? Just come on. Why? What you doing? Just come. Say, well, why are we in such a hurry? I mean, what's going on? Why are you coming to get me like this? Can you imagine, David? And then the one of his brothers said, you know, the prophet was sent to our house to try to anoint one of Jesse's sons to be king. And every one of us was underneath the oil, but the oil didn't come out. Daddy knew for sure that you would not be anointed. But so that we can appease the prophet, Daddy said, come home. So just stop with the sheep. Come home. Here comes David into the house. And, you know, maybe his daddy is, oh, I don't know, prophet, maybe you got the wrong house. It's another Jesse lived down the street. It's another Jesse down there. Maybe God sent you to the wrong house. But the prophet didn't say anything. He wasn't moved. But here comes David walking into the house. And when David starts walking to the house, all of a sudden, something strikes Samuel. He gets anointed. Now, all the other boys, he didn't feel this song. But, and I mean, now the first one that he went to anoint, I mean, he was anointed in his flesh. You understand? Because he, when he got anointed, God had to rebuke the prophet. And oh my God. And let me just also add this. When God want to correct his prophet, he does it himself. He doesn't need anybody to help him. He don't need no help. God can take care of that himself. He told him, say, don't you look at him on his outward appearance. Because God's not looking at the outside. God is looking at the inside. He sat there and he said, when David comes in, all of a sudden I can see Samuel grab that horn of oil and when he goes to pick it up, I can see oil just dripping all out the horn. Because David just walked in the house. And before he can even get it up, oil is just pouring out everywhere. Because David was the one that was chosen for royalty. I remember the last job I had, I was invited to go preach overseas at Easter time. And I knew that this was an important time for this job because I work for a big church and, you know, Easter is always a big service for any church. And I'm asking for time off because, you know, I'm invited to preach. And I remember my boss, you know, coming to me and he's like, first he says, I can't approve that. I need to take it to my boss. I'm like, what? I've never heard that before. You can't approve my time off. You're a director, and you can't approve my time off. So that doesn't make sense. So he went to his boss, and I'm like, well, Lord, I mean, if this is your will, then you're going to make a way. And I just stayed there, you know, on my confession of faith. And finally, he calls me in his office one day, and he says, well, they approved for you to go. I said, okay, thank you very much. I appreciate that. Then he says, why they want you? He says, who are you? Why would they want you? And I was just taken aback by the question. And he says, what are you going to do? So I said, I'm going to preach about Jesus. It's resurrection time. It's Easter. And I'm going to preach about Jesus. And I'm also going to do a little singing. Say, but why you? I realize that, you know, sometimes when people look at you, even when you're on your job, they have no idea who's working next to them.
Amen.
When you're in school, the students have no idea who's sitting next to them.
Right.
A son of God and a daughter of God, a person that's a part of the chosen generation,
yes, sir,
has just walked into the room.
Amen.
It's time for us to know who we are. When Peter writes that ye are chosen generation, a royal priesthood. The word royal means to be kingly. It also means belonging to a king as his children. So I like this definition, to be kingly or to belong to a king as his child. No matter how we slice it, we can't lose because we're still connected to a king. Now, I want to challenge your faith tonight. The prophet gave me specific instruction to put emphasis on a particular area of scripture. And you're going to say, Brother Jack, you weren't even here to see the prophet. How did you get instruction to do that? I read the quote.
All right.
And in the quote, he told me to put emphasis on a particular area. So tonight I come in the name of Jesus to put emphasis on this area. To be royal is to be kingly. Is to belong to a king, amen, as his children. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I want you to just kind of think about this tonight as we just kind of go through this. And I want you to realize something. Amen. If the definition says that, amen, if the royal means to be kingly, amen, I know that I am a child of the king. But you know, if me being a son of the king, if my father were to die, then that automatically would make me the king. Now, in our situation, our father is not going to die. He can't die. But it is possible that while, while David was king and still living, he anointed Solomon also to be king. So still, it is possible that while the king is living, another king can be anointed. Jesus is King of Kings.
Amen.
Stay with me here.
Amen.
Jesus is King of Kings. Uh-huh. But the definition, when it says that we're royal priesthood, that means we're kingly. And I'm going to take on the title tonight of King.
Amen.
Not only am I taking that title, I'm giving you the same title.
Amen. Amen.
Not only am I king, but I am amongst kings.
Amen.
Not queens.
Amen.
Kings.
Amen.
Notice I just said Jesus is who?
King.
He didn't say King of Queens.
Right.
He said King of Kings. Therefore, if he is King of Kings, there must be some kings somewhere.
Amen.
And I think I'm talking to kings. Revelation 1, 5, and 6. So you might not have known that you were king, but the Bible said you were.
Right.
Revelation 1, 5 says this, and see, I'm not just a king just because I decided to be one. I'm a king because he made me that.
Amen.
Revelation 1, 5 says, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth.
Right.
Oh my. He's the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us. Brother Branham said that word washed means to be loosed. And washed us from our sins in his own blood. Verse 6 says, and he hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. Amen. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Well, his blood made me a king. And if his blood made me a king, then that's what I am. King. It didn't say his blood made you a queen. It said his blood made you king. Now, I know sisters may have a difficult time taking on that masculine term. But trust me, we brothers had a difficult time taking on us a feminine term of bride of Christ. But we wear it proudly. And you ought to wear your name King, the title King, wear it proudly. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, you know, there are other scriptures that actually point that out, and I'll read them for you. Let's pick this up. Revelation 5, verse 8 through 10. The Bible said, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. So here's two or three scriptures. You're kings. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It says, when he had taken the book, the four beasts, and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps, golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Amen. And hast made us unto our God kings and priests.
Amen.
And look at this. And we shall reign. In the millennium.
Amen.
That's not what the Bible say. We shall reign on the earth. That's right now we're supposed to be reigning. I got another one. Revelation 17, 14. Listen. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And they are with them are called and chosen and faithful.
Amen.
Oh my. This, we are that chosen generation, right? The royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. That's who we are. We're kings. Now, Brother Branham said this in the Church Age book. I want to read this for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. I got this revelation a few weeks ago, and I'm operating in this. I am a king.
All right.
Listen to what he says. He hath made us. Oh, there are certain truths we need to emphasize. I told y'all I was told by the prophet to put emphasis on this. That's why I'm doing it. There are certain truths we need to emphasize. This is one of them. He hath made us. Salvation is his doing. Salvation is of the Lord, all of grace. He redeemed us for a purpose. He bought us for a purpose. We are kings, spiritual kings. Oh, we are going to be kings upon the earth with him when he sits on his throne. But now we are spiritual kings, and we reign over a spiritual kingdom. It says in Romans 5:17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. And in Colossians 1:13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom reign of his dear son.
Amen.
I'm going to read this. He says, right now, we reign with Christ, having dominion over sin, the world, the flesh, and the devil. I had to underline that. And I didn't want us to read that too fast. I want you to read that out loud. On the count of three, let's read what the prophet said. One, two, three. Right now, we reign with Christ, having dominion over sin, the world, the flesh, and the devil. Oh, no, you're not going to get the victory. You got the victory right now. I don't care what you're going through. God has already overcome that thing for you. Just walk in victory. Talk in victory. Live in victory. Praise God, you reign right now. Right now we reign with Christ. I love the way the prophet put that. Having dominion over sin. Amen. When you got dominion over it, you control it.
Right.
Having dominion over sin. You know, a king is the highest authority in the kingdom. Whatever the king says goes. You realize that, right? When a king speaks, that's it. You don't question a king. No, you don't question a king. You remember, I'm going to come back to this quote. Remember Haman.
Uh-huh.
Haman and Mordecai. Man, Mordecai had a certain added aura, I should call it. He had a certain way that he carried himself.
Uh-huh.
Haman said, I don't care, you know, what's going on down here in this land. Amen. I'm not going to bow to somebody that I'm not supposed to bow to. I'm not going to do it. I don't care what's going on. Haman would see Mordecai and say, every time I go through the city, it's just this one guy. Everybody else is down on their face. But this one man, standing with his head straight up, he refused to bow. Went home and told his wife, said, I'm going to get him. I'm going to get him. So his wife gave him a little plan, said, you know what, you ought to build some gallows. And you ought to get ready to hang them. You know, even
Even the devil makes preparation for something that's not even promised to him.
Amen.
Amen, bro.
Can I say that again? Even the devil makes preparation for something that's not even promised to him. Why can't we, as the bride of Jesus Christ, make preparation for things that are promised to us? I remember a brother, I'm coming back. Remember Haman, all right? But I remember a brother, he was at church. His wife was living in Haiti at the time. And the pastor was in the pulpit and he spoke by inspiration. He said, get your house ready. Your wife is coming out of Haiti. He had been waiting for years. He said, get your house ready. Your wife is coming out of Haiti. And we heard him say it, and the brother just began to rejoice and praise God. And, you know, rather than just say amen and feel goosebumps at church, the brother went home, bought some paint, began to paint the house, and he began to make preparation for his wife to come out of Haiti. And within months, his wife had left Haiti and was standing by his side. When you receive a promise, you need to make preparation. Not just mental agree with it, but start making preparation. Haman's making preparations. Like, his wife is encouraging, we ought to build some gallows, and you know, why don't you go to the king and we gonna get, you're gonna get that, you're gonna get Mordecai, you're gonna get rid of him once and for all. So he says, that sounds like a great idea. Wakes up early that morning. He say, I'm going to get in before the king, you know, get with anybody else. I'm going to get, and I'm going to talk to him. And he goes into the king, and the king says, who's there? It's Haman. Oh, Haman, I'm so glad you're here. Oh, the king is glad to see me, huh? Said, yeah, I'm so glad you're here. He say, out of all the nights, for some reason, last night I could not sleep. Usually I have some good sleep, but last night I could not sleep. Well, what's going on? He said, I began to read in the books. And I read about this man that had saved my life. And, you know, and he uncovered a particular plan. These guys were going to try to kill me. And this man saved my life. And, you know, and I'm so grateful for the man. But, you know, I also read that nothing was ever done for the man. Haman said, oh. Say, Haman, I got a question. If this were you, how would you honor a man that saved the king's life? Haman say, oh, if it were me, I would get a horse, the king's horse, and I would put the man on top of the horse, and I would take maybe a servant of his and walk in front of the horse and say, this is how the king honors those that have honored the king. Right. Haman thinking, boy, this is going to be a nice ride. This fella Mordecai going to bow now. King says, Haman, that is a wonderful idea. Go get Mordecai, put him on the horse, and you walk in front of him. Before Haman could get out of his mouth, while he was there to see the king, the king had made a decree. And when the king speaks, you understand? There is no, but. None of that happens when a king speaks. And see, recognizing that you're kings, you have to be careful what you allow to come out of your mouth. Because when a king speaks, things happen. And they happen immediately. In the days of Daniel, the king spoke. He set a decree and he could not go back on what he said. I need you to understand, as kings and priests, you can't go back on what you release out of your mouth.
All right.
What you say is going to come to pass. If you say to the mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, don't doubt in your heart, it'll be like you say. Amen. You are a king.
Amen.
I want you to notice another thing. It says that you're a king and a priest. Do you realize in the Old Testament that a king could not be a priest? One of the kings, amen, he he took on the, he tried to take on the position of being a priest, and he got struck with leprosy. He wasn't supposed to be a priest. That he got out of his place. But here the scripture says he has made us kings and priests. See, that shows you the power that's in the blood of the Lord Jesus. It's only through the blood of Jesus that we can take this title of king and priest. Right now, we reign with Christ, having dominion over sin, the world, the flesh, and the devil. Showing forth his praise and glory, showing forth himself, for it is Christ in us, willing and doing of his good pleasure. Yes, indeed, even now we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Brother Branham goes on to say, and made us priests, yes, priests unto him, offering the spiritual praise of sanctified lips, spending our lives as a sweet offering unto him, worshiping him in spirit and in truth, interceding and petitioning, priests and kings unto our God. No wonder the world does not appeal to us. And we are a peculiar people, zealous unto good works. We have been recreated in him to be children like unto our Father. Amen. Now, if you recognize tonight that you are a king, as you leave, there must be certain conduct that you carry out as a king. King does not argue with peasants. You will never find a king out arguing with the peasant. If the peasant happens to say the wrong thing to a king, there's somebody else in the kingdom that would take his head off. When David was leaving, he was still king. Even though his son rose up and kicked him off the throne, he was still king. And here comes Shimei. And he's just throwing sand and throwing whatever he can at David. He said, you never was a king. You know, you was this and you. He had everything to say. But David didn't even pay attention to him. David had men that were there. And they say, you gonna let this dead dog talk like that? Give me permission. I'll take his head off. And I'm here to tell you tonight, you have angels that are ready to fight for you anytime you give the word. There were angels in the trees at Calvary waiting to change the scene. If Jesus would have just gave them a nod, they would have changed the scene. But a king understands his purpose. And a king is not just drawn into anything. King realizes he has to have character. Yes. Right. He has to carry himself a certain way. Yeah. See, that's why we're peculiar people. We have to carry ourselves a certain way because we're kings. Amen. There's certain conduct that goes with this. Amen. One place, amen. You know, I was reading a couple quotes from, you know, Brother Branham, and I'm just pulling out the highlights here tonight. One thing he said, even though a king realized he's a great man, this is a part of his conduct. Even though he's a great man, he makes others feel that they are greater. Come on. Uh-huh. I think about Jesus being the King of Kings. He was the creator, and he's the one that took the towel and washed the feet of the disciples' feet. Amen. Amen. Rather than him sitting there saying, no, y'all need to wash my feet. No, Jesus takes the towel. Come on. And he washes his creation's feet. Amen. See, even though he's a great man, he makes others feel that they are greater. Yeah. Right. Another thing about a king is he looks good even when he feels bad. Brother Branham talked about, you know, the king that he prayed for there in Canada. He said when the man was so sick, but yet he got inside that chair and he would take a ride and he would sit up so straight. I mean, he was just in all types of pain, but he would sit up so straight and the people couldn't even tell that he was in so much pain. So he was in pain until Brother Branham prayed for him. Then the pain went away. But when the man was feeling bad, he still looked good. Can I tell you something? When you're going through, don't put that sour look on your face. Oh, don't come to church with that. You have a way of just taking over the atmosphere of the church. Everybody walking around, are you okay? Are you okay? Kings don't act like that. Do you know, as a king, people are not supposed to come into your presence sad? Right. Who's that? Nehemiah? Before he went to go build the walls, he went into the king's presence. He said, I'd never come into his presence like that. So the man immediately knew something was wrong with Nehemiah. Right. Never? Oh, yeah. You know, I can't remember which messenger it was, but he said he couldn't find 15 minutes out of a day that the man was sad. Come on, church. We got to raise the octave.
Come on. Right. Amen.
A king conducts himself a certain way. People don't even know what is the mood of the king. Oh, my. You know, even David was upset about his son, a man being killed, Absalom. He was upset. And Joab had to come to him and say, look, you're going to have to change your mood. Because you had a lot of people go out there and battle for you. And if they see you acting this way, then they're going to be down. See, the king set the atmosphere.
Amen.
He sets the atmosphere for everybody else. So they told him, so you're going to have to, you got to change some things, David, because if you continue like this, you're going to have everybody leave the army. He had to realize it, quickly he adjusted himself in order to keep the people at peace. And I'm going to tell you, in order to keep your home at peace, you got to adjust yourself.
Amen.
You got to make some changes.
Amen.
You are a king.
Amen.
Come on. Glory.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
A king is the final authority. When the days of Daniel, when they said that they couldn't pray unless they prayed to the king. When he signed that edict, that was it. There was no change in that. And when the king realized, oh no, I wasn't thinking about Daniel. And God still spared Daniel's life. But when they reminded the king before they took Daniel into that lion's den, they said, king, now remember what a king signs, what he says is final. Even though he wanted to change it, he couldn't change it because what he spoke was final. What he signed was final. And let me tell you something. What you speak, final.
Amen.
So don't wrestle with the devil.
Amen.
Don't play games with the devil. Just speak and move forward.
Amen.
Because you speak with authority as a king. One other thing I want to tell you about a king, because this definition said that a king, to be royal, it means to be kingly or belonging to a king as his children. And when I looked at one other story that Brother Branham brought to our attention, hallelujah. See, a king has certain conduct. And not only does a king have that conduct, but children of the king
Amen.
Also have the same conduct. Brother Branham talked about the African slave. And this man comes all the way from Africa knowing that he has no opportunity to ever see his family again. But as he's there, you know, they're bidding and they want to get all the slaves they want to buy. I want to buy this one. I want to buy that one. This man walks around and he has a certain aura about himself.
Right.
And they begin to say, well, I want to buy that one. They say, no, he's not for sale. Well, what is it? They begin to ask questions. What is it about him? Do you feed him differently? Say, no, I don't feed him any different than anybody else. He eat just like the rest of them. Say, but I'm just not selling him. Say, well, what is it about him? Say, I'm just not selling him. He said, I used to wonder about the same thing. But you know, it's something that this son of a king, the way that he conducted himself, he impacted the people that he worked with, and he also impacted the people that saw him.
Right.
You get that? He impacted his environment of the people that he was working with, but he also impacted those that wanted to buy a new slave. They saw him. Everybody's attention went to this guy because he was peculiar.
Right.
Amen.
Oh, God. When are we going to impact our environments? But here this man said, I want to buy him. Said, no, he's not for sale. Why is he so different then? Why is he so strange? I had the same question until one day I went and asked, and they gave me the answer. And I found out that back home, this young man knows that his father is a king. And even though he's way away from his home country, never has an opportunity to go back, he still conducts himself as the son of a king. Church, it's time for us to conduct ourselves the same way. We're kings and we're priests. We're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. And we're supposed to, the Bible said that ye should show forth the praise of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. When you recognize these things, you act different. You carry yourself different. You respond to things differently because you realize that you are the final authority. Amen. Let me finish with this quote. Out of the Message, Jehovah Jireh. The prophet says, what ought all our conduct to be? Not like the world, but we should act like sons and daughters of God. Conduct ourselves like king's children, not like slaves of fashions and slaves of passion and slaves of pride. We should be sons and daughters of God and act like it and conduct ourselves that way. Let our conversations and everything be seasoned with God's spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I say God bless you to all the kings. Amen. Because our Lord and Savior is King of Kings, not King of Queens, but King of Kings. Amen. God bless you to each and every one of you kings. You're chosen for royalty. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer, and I'm going to invite Brother Solomon if he would come, and maybe some of the other singers, if you all would join him. We are going to, amen, sing one more tonight, if that's what the Lord wants, and amen. And they're going to sing this. We are a chosen generation. Call forth to show his excellence. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Amen. That we are chosen for royalty. Certainly as David, maybe no one thought there was anything royal about him. Lord, oftentimes our family, friends, co-workers, they don't see anything royal about us. But yet we are the chosen generation, the royal priesthood. And we've been called that because of the blood of the Lord Jesus. That's why we say thank you for your blood. We can never, amen, we can never thank you enough. Father, my prayer is that this won't just be a sermon that we mentally agree with and we say thank God that we heard it and all of that. Lord, we want to go out here acting like kings, acting like royalty, conducting ourselves the way that we're supposed to conduct ourselves. God, we ask your blessings upon this precious church, Church of the Open Door. May you continue, Father, to pour out your spirit, amen, in this place. May you continue to anoint the pastor as he brings the word to the people. Anoint the ministry here, God, the other ministers as they bring the word to the people, the governing body of the church, amen, the laity. Lord, continue to bless this church, and may your hand ever rest and abide right here. God, we thank you for what we see you doing in the midst. And we thank you that we've had an opportunity, Lord, just to fellowship, God, once more with them. Different saints will be leaving on tomorrow, going their separate ways. Some, Lord, flying, give them traveling mercies. Some, God, driving. We pray for traveling mercies for each and every one, that you would keep us. Those that have come from far and those that have come from near to make this meeting what it has been. We just appreciate that, God. May you continue to get all the glory. May you continue to get all the praise. Continue to get all the honor. out of everything we do. It's in Jesus Christ's name that we pray. Amen and amen. Can we give the Lord another hand of praise? Brother Solomon will come. And we can get also maybe just a couple singers to come and help him. Amen. With this song, I know it'll be a blessing. Praise the Lord. Since, amen, we're winding things up, man, we ought to give God our best praise. Amen. We made it through this has been a wonderful weekend, and I tell you what, I have thoroughly enjoyed myself, and if the Lord tarry, we'll do it again. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, and I know that you might not be able to do it, but your pastor's going to be coming our way very soon. He'll be returning, amen, this. But maybe in due time, he'll be able to bring a few more saints with him down our way. And we look forward to having some church down there in West Palm Beach, Florida. Don't come during the summertime. Maybe you want to come during the winter. God bless you, church. We love you. Amen. We appreciate you. Amen.
Praise the Lord. How many enjoyed that message? Amen. Praise the Lord. This song is actually called I Know Who I Am.
Amen.
It's messages that's preached like this that allows us to recognize who we are. We are kings and priests. Aren't you glad to know that you are a king and a priest?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. We're going to sing this little song. Well, y'all can start calling me Brother King Solomon. Praise the Lord. I know who I am. Amen. Why don't you stand to your feet? Look at your neighbor and tell them, ye are the chosen generation. Amen. Tell them, ye are the chosen generation. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Come on, put your hands together. Ye are a chosen generation, called forth to show His excellence. All I require for life God has given me, I know who I am. Ye are the chosen generation, called forth to show His excellence. All I require for life God has given me, I know who I am. I know who God says I am, what He says I am, where He says I'm at. I know who I am. I know who God says I am, what He says I am, where He says I'm at. I know who I am. I'm walking in power, a walking miracle. I live a life of favor, 'cause I know who I am. I'm walking in power, a walking miracle. I live a life of favor, 'cause I know who I am. Ye are the chosen generation. Ye are a chosen generation, called forth to show His excellence. All I require in life, all I require in life, God has given me. I know who I am. He are the chosen generation. He are the chosen generation. Called forth to show His excellence.
All I require in life.
All I require in life. God has given me. I know who
I am. Come on, saints, let's
just. I know who God says I am. What He says I am. Where He says I'm at. I know who I am. I know who God says I am. What He says I am. Where He says I'm at.
I know who I am.
I'm walking in power. A walking miracle. I live a life of favor. 'Cause I know who I am. I'm walking in power.
Everybody shout out.
take a look at me, I'm a wonder. It doesn't matter what you see now. Can't you see his glory? Cause I know who I am. Take a look at me, I'm a wonder. It doesn't matter what you see now. Can't you see his glory? Cause I know who I am. Take a look at me, I'm a wonder. It doesn't matter what you see now. Can't you see his glory? Cause I know who I am. Take a look at me, I'm a wonder. It doesn't matter what you see now. Can't you see his glory? I know who I am. Come on, sing, shout out. Look at me, I'm a wonder. It doesn't matter what you see now. Can't you see his glory? Cause I know who I am. Take a look at me, I'm a wonder. It doesn't matter what you see now. Can't you see his glory? I know who I am. I'm walking in power, a walking miracle. I live a life of favor. Cause I know who I am. I'm walking in power. A walking miracle, a living life.
Amen. Let's sing it one time without the music.
I know who I am.
I'm walking in power.
Come on, congregation. A walking miracle, a living life of favor. Cause I know who I am. I'm walking in power. A walking miracle, a living life.
Come on, King.
Cause I know who
you have
I
the
am.
Final word.
I'm walking in power. A walking miracle. I live a life of favor, cause I know who I am. I'm walking in power, a walking miracle. I live a life of favor, cause I know who I am.
Praise the Lord. We're singing this little love song together. It's actually called Baba O. And what Baba means is Father. So we're going to just lift our voice and sing to our Heavenly Father.
We're in your presence. Let it rain. Cause you rain. To fall on me, we're in your presence. Let it rain, cause your rain to fall on me. Open the floodgates in abundance and cause your
we're in your presence.
to fall on me. We're in your presence. Let it rain. Cause your rain to fall on me. So open the floodgates in abundance and cause your
good to be in church. Amen. God bless you tonight. The whole time he was preaching, I was thinking of this song, and I don't think I have the voice to sing it, so I'm going to have Brother Furman sing it for us in a moment, but I was noticing, you know, I got to feeling a little bad when they were doing that double clap, and I knew I couldn't do it. And then I looked over at Brother Stephen and Sister Tina, and they weren't doing it either, so I didn't feel so bad anymore. Amen. I don't have that much soul. I'm not quite there yet. Maybe someday. Amen. Amen. Let's sing this song together tonight. And as we're singing this, I don't know. We don't typically do it this way, but there have been requested prayer for Sister Tanya. She's been, the doctors say that she has a cancer on the top of her head, and they've done some biopsies and things, and they don't believe the cancer has spread anywhere else. But when we were in West Palm Beach last time, Sister Tina couldn't do this with her arm. Tanya, I'm sorry. I get them mixed up. They're both Brother Jack's sister-in-laws. They know who I'm talking about. But she couldn't do this with her arm because she'd had some, I think it was arthritis and bursitis and bone fragments and things in her shoulder. And she came up for prayer. We anointed her with oil and had prayer. She went home that night, and she was ironing some clothes for the next Sunday morning service. And she realized, you know what, I can move my arm back further than I used to. And she began to go like this, and her arm was completely healed. Amen. The words of a man can't produce that, but Jesus Christ, amen, he's still Hebrews 13 and 8. And so we know the same God that healed her to where she had bone fragments and bursitis and arthritis and things in her shoulder, the same God that can heal that, cancer is no more to him than that. And so we're going to ask her to come tonight. We're going to have a word of prayer for her. And I know Sister Burrs, she's been having problems with her leg this week and in a lot of pain. We want to pray for her tonight too if she'd come, but amen. I don't have any power tonight, but we have authority because we're kings. Amen. Oh, once I was clothed in the wraps of my sins. Oh, I was wretched and poor.
Wondrous compassion, the King of all. In pity and great love, He took me under His wing. Well, oh yes, oh yes, oh I'm a child of the King, and His royal blood, it now flows through my veins.
So wretched, and vile I now can see.
the King. Amen. Thank you, Lord. This morning, my son, you guys all know that most of you know we're praying for his perfect healing. He's healed. Amen. Amen. I just want to testify of that publicly again, but we give him some medicine to help him, and it just changes his countenance, and he was just staring off in space. And I had told my son, I said, you're not always going to be affected like this. And so I told my wife, I said, this is awful. This is just awful. And so down the hall, I hear, Daddy, it's not awful. I was like, my eight-year-old, I said, why would you say that? And he said, because Brother Branham said, it's always going to get worse before it gets better. So I got a little spiritual spanking from my eight-year-old. And so it's just the very sign of his healing. So why don't you help me testify tonight? Amen. Oh, somebody ought to test it. Yes. Oh, somebody testify. Oh, for my God I'll live. For God I'll die. Oh, somebody ought to testify. Oh, somebody ought to testify. Oh, somebody ought to testify. Oh, for my God I'll live. For God I'll die. Oh, somebody ought to testify. Oh, somebody ought to shout and sing. Oh, somebody ought to shout and sing. Oh, for my God I'll live. For God I'll die. Oh, somebody ought to testify. Well, somebody ought to testify. Oh, somebody ought to testify. For God I'll live. For God I'll die. Oh, somebody ought to testify. Somebody ought to praise his name. Somebody ought to praise his name. Oh, for my God I'll live, for God I'll die. Oh, somebody ought to testify. Well, somebody ought to praise his name. Oh, somebody ought to praise his name. Oh, for my God I'll live, for God I'll die. Oh, somebody ought to testify. Well, somebody ought to testify. Somebody ought to testify. Oh, for my God I'll live. For God I'll die. Oh, somebody ought to testify. Well, somebody ought to shout and sing. Somebody ought to shout and sing. Oh, for my God I'll live. For God I'll die. Oh, somebody ought to testify. Well, somebody ought to testify. Somebody ought to testify. Oh, for my God I'll live. For God I'll die. Oh, somebody ought to testify. Oh, somebody ought to testify. Somebody. Praise his name. Amen. Amen. Let's sing this little chorus before we go. A sister's been asking me to sing this for multiple services, and so just felt led to try it tonight. Amen. Oh, Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Oh, Satan. Coming down. Oh, for I heard a voice up in heaven say, oh, Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Oh, Satan, your kingdom's coming down.
Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Oh, Satan, we're gonna shout your kingdom down. Oh, Satan, we're gonna shout your kingdom down. For I heard a voice up in heaven say, oh, Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Oh, Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Oh, Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Well, I heard a voice up in heaven say, oh, Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Oh, Satan, we're gonna preach your kingdom down. Oh, Satan, we're gonna preach your kingdom down. Well, I heard a voice up in heaven say, oh, Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Oh, I know, Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Oh, Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Oh, well, I heard a voice. God bless you, saints. Let's sing it as we go. Your kingdom's coming down. You can be dismissed. Oh, Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Oh, Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Well, I heard a voice up in heaven say, oh, Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Oh, I know, Satan, we're gonna shout your kingdom down. Oh, Satan, we're gonna shout your kingdom down. Well, I heard a voice up in heaven say, oh, Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Oh, Satan, coming down. Oh, Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Well, I heard a voice up in heaven say, oh, Satan. Amen. Oh, Satan, we're gonna preach your kingdom down. Oh, Satan, we're gonna preach your kingdom down. Well, I heard a voice up in heaven say, oh, Satan, we're gonna preach your kingdom down. Oh, I know, Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Oh, Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Well, I heard a voice up in heaven say, oh, Satan, your kingdom's coming down.